on first down. May rolling, throwing back. Down the field, intercepted. The second for Amani Hooker ends the ball game.
That's right. It's showtime, folks, and the Titans win. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Monday, a reaction Monday. He's Big Joe. I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. How about it, JoJo? They got him a win.
Get them a win. Hey, there I am. Oh, my goodness. All right, yeah. Big win. Look, a win is a win is a win. We look back 5 years from now, and we'll be like, oh, they barely got this and that. They won the game. That's all that matters. Are 2-6 going forward. And now we have the problem with all you Titans fans who want them to lose, which drives me crazy. We did it last year, and I'm not going through it this year.
Oh, yeah. You know that's going to be there, but, you know, that's fine. Whatever. You can feel that way. I mean, obviously, they need a good draft pick. They need to improve. They need to be, I guess, on a rebuild, whatever. But they won a game. You cannot get mad at winning a game.
No, not at all. And I still don't understand it. Like, you know, Tank – look, we did it again last year. We'll do it again this year about going to the locker room. Not a single player in there is not going to play hard and play to win. So just stop the talk about all that. You still got half a season left to go, and it just drives me crazy when people talk about losing. The loser mentality is too much in this country, and it drives me insane.
I agree. But, yeah, they got to win. It was an ugly game. I mean, I don't know why – you know, I heard people say, like, yeah, I'm going to the Titans game. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. I'm like, are you being punished?
Look, man, it's still an NFL game. It's still fun. I mean, just enjoy all that. I mean, we grew up without pro football in our, at least, right. You know, for the most part of my childhood. There was nothing around here like that. So embrace it. Enjoy it. If you don't like the Titans, so what? But it's still NFL football in the town, which is the biggest sport in America by far. And just enjoy it. If you're not a Titans fan, that's fine. That is fine. But to go, if you are a Titans fan and saying, you know, they need to lose and keep on losing, get out of here, man. Just get out of here.
So I looked this up because I was really, really hopeful that something happened. And unfortunately, one team came up a little bit short. But looking at the weekend as a whole, the Preds won big Saturday night at Bridgestone Arena. Vanderbilt beat Auburn. Tennessee beat Kentucky. MTSU went and got a big win down at UTEP.
You're welcome.
You were part of that. Tennessee Tech defeated Linwood 52-10. That's in our area. Austin Peay, they beat North Alabama 31-17. Unfortunately, UT Martin got TSU 28-21 on Saturday. But this was a winning weekend overall, pretty much, for Nashville.
Tennessee. Tell you what, buddy. Anytime you get out of bed in the morning, that's a winning weekend. That's a win. Anytime
you
do that.
You're just kind of spoiling my little thing here, but that's okay.
How did Memphis do?
How did Memphis do?
They lost to UTSA.
Did they?
They were up big and lost to UTSA. What about Carson Newman? Keep going with this. I like this.
I haven't found the Carson Newman score.
I like this. All the teams getting it done. And, you know, and yesterday was an ugly, ugly game. I think both teams tried to hand it to each other and say, I don't want it, you take it. I don't want it, you take it. And at the end, they won. The last play of regulation was one I'll never forget from the Patriots. He had, and I think somebody counted this, 13 seconds to throw the ball.
Oh, yeah.
13 seconds to throw the ball. Then he just throws it up for whomever and then touchdown.
Yeah. Well, that was kind of like, I mean, there was a lot of that yesterday, you know, with just some weird plays that happened, you know, the Seahawks tying it up and, you know, sometimes you just throw it up and good things happen.
Yep.
But the Titans do get the win, and so they get their second win of the year. There is some news out of the NFL. Adam Schefter and others are reporting that the Saints have fired head coach Dennis Allen. So he is, by my count, the second head coach to be fired this year. Is that right?
Yeah, Robert Saleh.
Yeah, Saleh was the first, and then now Dennis Allen. I'm not surprised by that. I thought he was on the hot seat.
Well, going into the season. But they started out. They're the only team in NFL history to start out scoring 40 points in the first two games and losing the next seven, which is not, you know, that's not easy to do, and they did it. So the Saints, and I think there'll be more to come soon. I just, the end season firings, especially the Saleh one with the Jets, was kind of weird, but this one was kind of expected.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see what they do in the interim. I mean, there are going to be some jobs open. I mean, I think we already knew. Look, I'm surprised. I'm kind of looking at Jerry Jones here because I'm wondering if he was going to do something because I think McCarthy's terrible. I've always thought he was terrible. So get him out of here.
Yeah. More and more I think about that job, Mike Vrabel.
More and more I think about wonder, that. I wonder. Because, listen, for Mike Vrabel, in my opinion, to be successful in his next job, he needs to go somewhere that already has the quarterback. Because I don't – unless he brings Arthur or somebody that, you know, can develop the quarterback for him. You know, like Arthur kind of revived Ryan Tannehill. Unless he has something like that, then I don't really trust, you know, to go into a place without a quarterback. So the Saints, I'd say no. The Raiders, I'd say no. You know, the Browns, I'd probably say no.
No.
But the Cowboys, going there with Dak in a defense – you know, honestly, if he's smart, he'd keep Mike Zimmer as the defensive coordinator and really build that defense. And then, you know, do the tweaks on the offense.
I mean, I don't think you'd want – I mean, you'd take a job if you offered. If Cleveland's the only job that comes open that's offered to you, you'd take it. But for Vrabel, man, that Dallas job, I mean, it's the Cowboys. I mean, you could handle Jerry Medling. He wouldn't mind.
I think Vrabel, of any of the coaches that we currently know that could handle Jerry, I think Vrabel's up there. I mean, Belichick probably could, but you know, Vrabel would. I could see Vrabel looking at him and be like, Jerry, get the bleep out of my office. I could totally see him doing
that. Oh, yeah, no doubt. 100%.
You hired me to coach.
Yeah.
You want me to coach the team or do you want to coach the team?
Well, there's the rumors that Jerry might step back and let his son be the GM going forward after this year.
He needs to.
So
let Steven do it, which I don't know if I trust Steven any more than I do Jerry, but you know, like, you know, I got a great concept for him. They can go hire a general manager.
So why do that?
What the other teams do. I'm just saying.
What about John Robinson down there? Special.
Could you imagine?
I mean, they fall forward.
If it was John Robinson and Mike Vrabel in Dallas,
that would be great. They fall forward. And you got a decent team down there to work with. I mean, right now they're kind of imploding, but there's some talent there. That would be great. And I think, 21, 24, when do the Cowboys come here? 14, 18.
20? Well, they just played them here like
2 years ago.
2 years ago.
So it'll be 26. So,
yeah.
Down there. Okay. The schedule's all.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's a while before they come back here.
Okay.
So. Thanksgiving against the Cowboys in Dallas with Vrabel and John Robinson. How awesome that would be. 615-737-1025. Your reaction. The Titans win a game. Reminds me of the Simpsons. Titans win a game to improve to 2-6. They beat the Patriots 2017 in overtime. They didn't need overtime to do that. Mason Rudolph got the start once again. You know, Ridley looked decent, 73 yards, didn't get in the end zone. Tony Pollard looked excellent, ran the ball 28 times for 128 yards.
Yeah, the drive in overtime, just line up and mash. We're going to go forward, try to stop us. Oh, that was great.
It does feel like that Brian Callahan and his coaching staff have just gotten to the point where they're realizing, all right, this is working, we're just going to keep doing this. It's like they don't want to. They want to be this prolific passing offense, but they can't be. And so just run the ball.
Yeah, right. And guys love that. I'm telling you, man, offensive linemen love lining up and mashing the guy in front of them. They pass block all the time. They do the zone blocking with the passes, which happen. You have to do with the pass rush. But, man, when you can just line up and say, all right, the guy in front of you, just go block him and move him down the field. Guys on the offensive line love that. That's what they were taught in peewee and junior and middle and high school and college. And so when you do that, I wish football would get back to that. The Ravens are doing it with Derrick Henry, and it helps when Derrick Henry's back there. But they're doing that. They're mashing guys up front. If you could do that, you're going to win that game every single day.
Yeah. Oh, you will. I mean, and that I think is going to be the game plan, you know, moving forward. Now, I don't see, you know, everybody's like, well, they don't need to win. You know, I know Jared's going to talk about that today. And all that. But I look at the rest of this schedule, and I don't – I mean, they're going to go to the Chargers this weekend. I think they're going to lose because they just have never played well out there.
Yep,
whether
against
San Diego,
the Chargers.
Whether it's San Diego or L.A.
Yeah, right.
Right. Then you got the Vikings here. I don't see that being a win. At Houston, don't see that. At Washington, don't see that. Jacksonville is a toss-up because I don't think Jacksonville is very good. I think Doug Peterson might be next. I don't think he survives the year. So he could be one. The Bengals, that might be a toss. I mean, you do have some toss-ups towards the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got Jacksonville here, Bengals here, at Indy, at Jacksonville, and then Houston here to wrap up the season. And, you know, by then, Houston might have – the division locked up, so they might not play anybody.
It happens all the time. I want to throw this out there, and I'm just curious. For those that want your football team to lose, please tell me why, and don't come at me with a high draft pick, all right? Because we've seen how that doesn't work out.
Yeah, but that's, I mean, that's what it is.
With
that's
Anthony Richardson, that doesn't work out. I mean, do you really want your team to lose? And here's my thing. How do you tell, if you could sit go in the Titans locker room and you want your team to lose, how do you tell them to lose? Would you tell them to lose?
No.
Of course you wouldn't. You get tossed out on your ass. No, don't do that.
Right. No, I agree. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. They also have some pretty key injuries that need to be addressed. We'll discuss that and much more, but want your reaction. Titans get the win in overtime, 20-17 over the Patriots yesterday. We'll discuss that more coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, here on this Reaction Monday. Titans win. Not used to saying that. 20-17 over the Patriots.
Do you know the name of this song?
Axel F.
Attaboy! You impress me more and more every day, man.
Hey, I know my 80s.
You do. Such a good
my favorite thing with this is the Family Guy where Peter is just like
oh yeah
like he does that.
It's such a good instrumental,
but like when they did the new one and they had the previews and you hear like the hint of the music,
yes.
It's like, yo, let's go.
Did you watch the new one? I need to watch it.
No, I haven't watched it yet.
I heard it wasn't bad.
I need to watch it. I just watched the new Bad Boys. It was pretty good.
Okay.
With Martin Lawrence and Will Smith.
But, all right.
So, yeah. But that's a good one. But taking your reaction to the Titans, 615-737-1025. I'll try to get to as many of these as possible. A lot of people have kind of jumped on the theme that I had. Scott from Franklin, when is the last time the state of Tennessee did this well over a fall weekend regarding all three pro teams and the four major college football teams? Did Nashville SC play? Did they win? Oh, no, the Grizzlies. You're talking about the Grizzlies. Okay. Yeah, the Grizzlies won. I was like, I thought their season was done. The Volunteer State won 6 of 7 overall. Tennessee, Vandy, and MTSU. Grizzlies, Predators, Titans. And the only FBS school that lost was Memphis. Not too shabby.
Yeah. And Memphis was up over UTSA like 14-0 early and rode along with it. So, yeah, that's good. And shout out to Vanderbilt. I mean, I sat here and said, look, if they don't win, their bowl chances are almost nil. And they went down there, and I love this phrase this year, punched them in the face, man. And Auburn had no answer for them. Now South Carolina comes to town, but I think South Carolina comes to town off that emotional high from beating Texas A&M Saturday night, which was a great game to watch. I'll tell you, the crowd at Columbia was amazing just to hear it through the TV. And now they come here on Saturday. It's a big game, Chaser.
It's a huge game, and here's the best part about it. Let me pull this up real quick to confirm it. But what do you think the old spread on that game is?
Is Vandy favored?
No.
Oh.
Vandy is a home dog, 3.5.
Oh, that's my
and they point. Love that. You can't tell. I bet Clark Lee saw that and was like, hell yes, bring it. Keep telling us that.
Wow.
They beat Alabama. They beat Auburn. And there was some stat on that that like that hadn't happened in a while.
Oh, since 1955.
Yeah.
Vanderbilt's not beating Alabama. And they'd never won at Auburn.
Right.
Ever. So they won at Auburn the first time, and the first time they'd beaten Alabama and Auburn the same year since 1955. I'm telling you, man, when Tennessee comes here on November 30th, we won't be here, but it will be.
Oh, it'll be something.
If Tennessee's 9-2, Vandy is, say, 8-3 and can go down and look, I have every reason to think this Vandy team could beat LSU.
You know what's funny? I didn't think that. I was like, they're probably not going to beat LSU at LSU. After watching Saturday and just how freaking scrappy they are, I think they might. I know we're talking Titans, but I mean, I think they certainly could go down there and do that. But, you know, we will spend a lot of time talking about them.
Yep.
Leading into this. 615-737-1025. This was the Titans are dealing with some injuries. This was Brian Callahan yesterday kind of updating everybody.
Some sort. We'll get the imaging, but not real positive on those two at this point. But man, what a definition of what we want our football team to look like and play like when things get tight. Tremendous amount of resilience.
And that was Brian Callahan, some of it, I guess, talking about it.
Hey, I was in there and he was cussing.
He got emotional, didn't he?
And I was like, Coach, I'm not a fan of your cuss words. He said, hey, F you, buddy. No, he did get emotional.
Yeah. I know Buck asked him about it, and he was, and it was great. It was great to see that emotion.
Then Teron at the follow-up was like, why? Why this game?
Yeah.
And he was kind of like – it was basically, to paraphrase, all they've been through the last couple of weeks with everything and the fans and the media and the talk around the country about this football team, they got to win. And it felt good, and it was like, I'm proud for my players – for what they did and how they rallied and got the win today. And again, a win is a win is a win.
You'll take it.
Every time, no matter how ugly it is. There's not a category for ugly wins. But, yeah, he was very emotional yesterday about his team winning the football game.
A lot of you want to weigh in. Let's get to the phone, 615-737-1025. We love old school phone calls. Mark, what's up?
Hey, Chase, what's up, Big Joe?
All right, now, Mark.
Yeah, how y'all doing?
We're good.
Hey, Chase, I got a couple of things I want to talk to you about real quick.
Hit me.
Great win. I'm not a Titans fan, but great win yesterday by the Titans over the Patriots. Now, the big question on that is, Chase, do you stick with Mason Rudolph? You know, I know he needs to kind of cut out on the turnovers and fumbling. And I mean, do you stick with Mason Rudolph and leave Levis sitting over on the bench? Or once Levis gets back completely healthy, do you bring him back in?
It's a really good question, Mark. I mean, you have a game manager at quarterback right now, and Levis is not that. And so if you're comfortable with having somebody that can manage the game and knowing that he's going to probably turn the ball over, he's going to make some mistakes at times, but overall he's going to, you know, be that game manager, then I say you stick with him.
Mark, I say bring him back in. I think when Levis is healthy, bring him back in and unleash him. I mean, the season's done now, right? So bring him back in and just unleash him and go forward and see what you got. It's kind of similar to what the Packers did with Brett Favre in 92 and Don Mikowski got hurt. Favre came in tonight. We're not going anywhere. We got some good building blocks here. Let's just roll with it and let Favre see what he can do. Now, I'm not saying Levis is Brett Favre. By no means. But they didn't know what they had in Brett Favre till they unleashed him. You just never know, man.
Okay, well, Big Joe, I'm going to throw this one back at you. I heard you say something about the draft, okay? We hadn't had a franchise quarterback here since Steve McNair. It's time for a franchise quarterback, and I'm looking down south down there in Duval, Florida, at the University of Miami. You got a Cam Ward, who I think would be an excellent quarterback for Brian Callahan to bring up. He's accurate. He's got the big arm. They run similar offense to what Callahan wants to do. He's a heck of a passer. He could be the Heisman Trophy winner. It's time for the Titans to get that franchise quarterback because it's been too long since they've had one. That's a long time since McNair.
I agree with you.
It's time for them to get one. But, hey, Chase, I'll let you ask him in just a minute, Big Joe. Chase, I'm going to throw some apologies out for Vanderbilt, man. I've had a lot of people criticize me about Vanderbilt, but, hey, man, after watching them Saturday, their defense is borderline elite. They're tough.
Pretty good.
They're physical. They keep receipts. Coach Clark Lee has done one hell of a job. I'd have to shake his hand and commend him and buy him a milkshake. because this man has done one heck of a job at Vanderbilt. And I'm going to give him this, Chase. I want Tennessee to take Vanderbilt very lightly and think it's going to be a cakewalk. And I want them to knock Tennessee out the box, especially if they got a chance to go to the playoffs in college football this year. Don't take them lightly, man, because they proved to me Saturday, and then they proved to me with Texas and Alabama, they can play with just about anybody. They're tough, man. I have to give them credit. Best Vanderbilt team that I've ever seen in Nashville. And I hope they can keep it going. But that quarterback they got, he's a beast, man. I give him credit.
He's
a winner.
He's
a winner, man. And I see why, Chase, you keep riding with him when you bet on when you throw your bets out on Thursday. But, hey, man, y'all have a – hey, Big Joe, you have a big good day, Chase and Joe. But y'all think about what I said. Cam Ward would be that guy. And it's time for a franchise quarterback in Tennessee. It's time. If they want to go to that next level and Brian Callahan can get that guy in here that he can roll with and keep his coaching career going here in Nashville – he needs to do that. Don't go get a veteran and have to pay him $40, $50 million. They don't need to do that. They don't need to do that. But, hey, man, y'all have a good day, Chase.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate you. Always enjoy the calls from Mark. And on the Levis thing, you are in a position now where you got nothing to lose.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where if he's healthy 100%, and I think that's what Brian Callahan's waiting for, because then there's no excuse. You throw him in. And at the end of the year, you go, hey, we gave him every opportunity.
Yep.
He's not the guy.
Exactly.
And you go to Amy Adams Strunk and you go, I gave him every shot. He's not the guy. Now let me go get who I think, let us go get who I think will be good for us. And then that's when you can start my clock.
Yeah. I'm with you 100%, man. And also during this, if they really think the season's over with, but I mean, you can still go out there and play hard and play tough, but open up the playbook, man.
Yeah.
Fling it. Go have fun. Open up the playbook. Throw that
get
ball
Ridley involved.
60 yards down the field and make it happen.
Yeah. Get
I'm
Ridley
all
involved.
For that.
I'm done. NWI, whoever. Eric wants to weigh in. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. I primarily going to talk about Tice real quick, guys. Y'all also probably got Tennessee State Baylaw, so they're part of this, too. And also, guys, if Vanderbilt, Tennessee beats Tennessee this season, has it ever happened where Vanderbilt beat Tennessee, Kentucky, Alabama, and Auburn in the same season? Has that ever happened?
Like 1901? I don't know.
Well, I know people would look that up if that happened. I mean, that would be interesting if they did beat Tennessee. And I know definitely you'd see a field storming and tearing down the goalposts if that happened. And that would be something to talk about in the playoffs.
You're right, Eric, but there's a lot of games in between there. Like Tennessee's got to go to Georgia next week. If they beat Georgia, I'd watch out for Tennessee. But they lose to Georgia, and they come in here, and Vanderbilt beats LSU in South Carolina, and they're feeling good.
Yeah.
I mean, so there are different ways to approach this game, but it all depends on what happens the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, you're right. And, guys, I'll tell you what, as a Titans fan, I'm definitely happy they won yesterday with all those comedy of errors and just everything that happened, especially that touchdown the last play of the game. You would think they would lose because normally something like that would happen, but that did. And it was also great atmosphere with the whole American Idol deal at the end of the first quarter. That was great, as well as the TSU halftime band, which was great. But, guys, let me tell you my day, and you'll get a kick out of this. I almost didn't get to the stadium because I had a paper ticket because I don't have a smartphone. I had a little Cricket flip phone. It was scanned. It wouldn't scan me in. It got me in the first three games. And people tell me, well, maybe they printed a ticket wrong. I said, what are you telling me? So I had to go to this lady with the computer, get punched in, find my address. And I had to go through my little Cricket flip phone trying to do all this stuff, scrolling to get to the barcodes. And I did eventually get in, which took me 5 minutes. And then afterwards, guys, I was on the post game show about the Titans. And I was at my church. I was the third caller, holding on for like 40 minutes. And then I had to go through my call quickly because I heard the singing in my church. And it starts like, get in there, get off the phone. So that's kind of what my day went.
Well,
it was yesterday, guys.
That is quite a day. Thanks for the call, Eric. Always appreciate
it. All right, y'all take care. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, appreciate it, Eric.
He said Cricket flip.
You had one of those for a while.
For a long time, I had one of those.
All right, everybody on the line, hang on. We will get to your call, 615-737-1025. It's our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Titans reaction, take it anywhere you want it. They win 20-17 over the Patriots. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
A lot of really good things, plenty of things to clean up, but I'd much rather be cleaning them up, feeling good about a win than after a loss. So it was just really good to see our team fight today.
Just how badly did you guys need this today?
I mean, look at me. I needed it bad, man. It was, we needed it.
That was Brian Callahan after the win yesterday. Joe, you were in there, and you saw that emotion. I'm going to say this. Has he been perfect in his first year as a head coach? No, we've talked about it. Like, there have been times where he has appeared in over his head, as they like to say. But I've never not liked him. I've never not pulled for him.
Absolutely.
I like him.
Yep.
And when I hear a coach in a press conference get emotional like that, you know what that tells me? That tells me they give a damn. And that's mm-hmm. what I want. I want somebody that's leading this team that gives a damn. And that right there is a prime example of somebody that does. And, we're going to see a win does not fix everything, but a win does make you feel good.
It makes you feel fantastic.
It could fire this team up. I mean, they're beat up. You know, they have injuries and all of that, but, you know, I think that it can do wonders for a team. I still stand by some of the things I said last week of that at the end of the year, I think some changes need to be made. I do believe that, you know, he deserves an opportunity to be evaluated by, you know, a different general manager. But, you know, they went and got a win yesterday, and so we're focused on that. Taking your calls, your text, 615-737-1025. Jimbo is up next. Jimbo, what's up?
Hey, guys. I'm just driving through Middle Tennessee and heard you guys on the radio, like the show, about the Titans. I would like to see the stats on our defense in the first half. How many games have I watched and listened to in the last 3 years where we were leading, tied, or, you know, within a touchdown at halftime, and in the second half, the offense make a first down. So frustrating. I think we've got a great defense. And, you know, sometimes after the game where the defense has been on the field the entire second half, I think they ought to just go in and just beat up the offense.
Yeah.
I felt that way. So frustrating to see the defense play so well. But in the third and fourth quarter, when they've been out there two-thirds of the game or three-fourths of the game, they give up some late scores.
Right, they wear out.
Absolutely. And, you know, what would one more touchdown do? I could go and look at our record. You know, I don't know what it would be, but man, our defense makes a fight. They're good. And if we can figure out which quarterback and just do a little better. We're not going to light up the scoreboard with 40 to 50 points, but with our defense, we don't have to.
Right. Appreciate the call, Jimbo. Thanks for listening.
All right, thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Have a good one.
That's why it's a 60-minute game, Jimbo.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to put it together.
But it is true. I mean, you think about how many times that you're feeling good in the first half, even the first few drives, if the Titans move it down the field, then you're thinking, okay, here we go. They're clicking. And the defense does the same way. And then there's those halftime adjustments that Peyton Manning says doesn't exist that seem to happen. Right. And the other team comes out and, you know, takes control.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. They have played really well. Like the first quarter in Detroit, they played really well. And then it just implodes on them. And I think it's because they get exposed quite a bit. And yesterday, they beat a bad football team. But it's still an NFL team. And I'm looking here, Chase, on my computer. It still goes in the win column.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
I know. Isn't that crazy?
All right.
How that works. But look, as we keep, you know, saying, a win is a win is a win is a win. And it's not going to fix the season. It's not going to take them to the playoffs or the Super Bowl. But it is going to change. Like, there are guys in that building right now that they're feeling good today. For the first time in a long time, they can hang their – you know, they're not hanging their heads. Their heads are high. And so that is a good thing. 615-737-1025. Adam in Portland weighing in. What's up, Adam?
Hey, Chase. So I thought, number one, that Drake May play, holy cow. Like, that's one in 100 it's going to hit right there. So, awesome for him. But, for Titans, I mean, almost everybody always loves NWI anyway. But to see him every opportunity he gets make a play for the Titans, that route for the touchdown, it's a beautiful route, man. That's a veteran route. And I'm proud of that guy. For the guy, I just want to throw in one more thing. For the guy who said Cam Ward, Miami's pretty good, dude. So I can't trust a guy who has a good team around him. I want Deion's kid because Colorado is hot garbage minus one player. Like, Travis Hunter's good, but that's all he's got. His line sucks, and he still climbs the pocket and stands in a pocket really good. So if I got to pick, I'm not going to pick Ewers, although I think he's got the most arm talent because he gets hurt every 5 minutes, and we got a line that's going to get him hurt. But I think Deion's kid can navigate our pocket better than all three of those. So if I had to pick, I'd pick Deion's kid.
All right, appreciate the call. Thanks, Adam. I'm gonna keep saying it that if you pick Deion's kid, if you pick Shador, you're getting Deion too.
That's 100% accurate.
And NFL teams are gonna know that.
Yep.
Now if Deion's been through this process, he knows it. If he stays out of the way, then okay. But I don't think he's gonna stay out of the way.
Has he ever stayed out of the way? No.
Do you think Jerry would call him?
Yeah. I think he'd kick the tires on it and see what he's got.
Yeah. But you know what I think would happen? I think he would say, sure, but we're taking Shador.
How? He's not going to be there if you're picking. Well, no, they might pick top 10. Who knows? They're terrible this year.
Now, you could figure out how to get Travis Hunter. Now, if you had Travis Hunter with Dak and CeeDee Lamb.
I mean, the Cowboys are 3-5.
I know. It's just.
What about, did you see Dak on the sideline yesterday, what he said?
I did.
Camera's always on, you guy. Pretty amazing. Always.
Edward, what's up?
Hey, guys. Enjoy your show.
Thank
you. Monday morning quarterback. I had tickets offered to me, and I did not go free. And it looked like a pretty decent crowd. On television, I heard a lot of New England Patriot fans. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's to be expected in the NFL. But there was an issue right before halftime that I thought was a coaching issue and was concerning. It kind of changed my opinions a little bit of the coaching, but it was the 5-yard penalty, possibly right seconds before halftime. And I thought, why is it somebody watching the clock? I mean, we're possibly going to kick a field goal. That was concerning. But those were my comments.
Hold on one second. We're going to go back. They got a penalty on the opening kickoff, the Titans did. That's how bad the game started out for them because they had an illegal formation. And I'm thinking, how in the hell does that happen? You get a penalty on the opening kickoff, and, of course, New England declined it because they're getting the ball at the 25 anyway. But I'm with you, man. Some of these penalties are like, how? A delay of game. How? A legal formation that you practice all week. How does that happen? And that's just attention to details not being there.
Yeah, and, well, maybe they'll get it worked out. I'm a firm believer in giving someone an opportunity and chance. And I believe, you know, my wife says, you know, you got to stay optimistic. And she says I'm pessimistic sometimes. I've made that statement. But that was all I had. But I did want to say, Big Joe, MTSU, that was a good win. I hope they, you know, we beat Kennesaw State. Kennesaw State beat Liberty. Liberty does not need to come in here and beat us, okay?
I'm with you.
Let's keep it rolling, Anyway.
Should be a good crowd there on Saturday. Liberty comes to town. You still got postseason bowl hopes there. You played better all the way around. And then bring it on Saturday. Keep going.
That's right. Let's go Blue Raiders.
There you go, baby.
Thanks, let's go Blue. Thanks, Edward. Appreciate it. 615-737-1025. Some breaking news that I want to pass along out of the NBA. ESPN is reporting San Antonio Spurs coach Greg Popovich suffered a health issue before Saturday's game. Assistant Mitch Johnson is expected to be the interim head coach for an indefinite period, including Monday versus the Clippers and Wednesday versus the Rockets. So hope Coach Pop's okay. But just seeing that, wanted to pass that along.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously a legend in the NBA. Our buddy Blair Durham wants to weigh in on the Titans talk. Blair, what's up?
Hey, guys. First of all, let me say, Joe, congrats, buddy. Being a grandfather, that's super special.
Oh, appreciate you.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, you know, we've been season ticket holders since the Titans have been here. And the first – I really thought after the Lions game that we were going to have a special teams coordinator firing change. And the first play of the game, we get an illegal formation. I'm like, how does this guy still have a job? I've questioned the play calling. I thought the play calling was great yesterday until we got to the red zone. And again, run the dang ball. I mean, there was a guy sitting next to me that has a hat that says run the ball. I just and the end of the game, we put no pressure on their quarterback. I mean, he has all day for that tying score. It's frustrating. I believe in giving everybody a chance. I think our special teams coordinator has had about seven too many.
Oh, thank you, sir. It's always good to hear from you.
Thanks, Blair.
Yeah, y'all too.
I'm with him on that.
Yep.
But I've kind of thought about this when it comes to the special teams coordinator, and I'll give you this thought coming up next. Continue your reaction, 615-737-1025. Brett Kern at the top of the hour as well. It's Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this Titans Reaction Monday. They win yesterday 20-17 at Nissan Stadium in overtime. Blair called in about the special teams. I think everybody was expecting, you know, a change at the special teams coordinator position last week, and you know, probably can still expect that. But I did think about it more, and I heard Robbie and Rexrow discuss it a little bit. What does an off or an in-season assistant coach firing really do?
There we go. Nothing.
Yeah, I mean, does it really fix anything at this point?
It makes them in the media happy.
Yeah,
that's it.
But I don't know if it really you know, you fire the head coach, okay, that's different. Like, then, like, the Raiders just fired their OC, their O-line coach, and the quarterback's coach. So they basically just fired their offensive coaching staff. I don't know if that Antonio Pierce thing is going to work.
I don't think it is either. I think Mark Davis is like, do something, but yeah. Fire somebody
yeah.
today. And
yeah.
That's what they've done. No, I'm with you. If you fire, I mean, who do you replace? The assistant special teams coordinator? There's a reason assistant.
Right, he's going to get elevated.
Yeah, there's a reason he's not the number one guy. So, but some of this is inexcusable, and a penalty on the opening kickoff. I'm like,
I know.
Are you kidding me? And that's just lack of preparation in coaching. So I don't know. I'm 50-50 on that. I don't like to see anybody lose their job. But at some point, you keep making the same mistakes. Then you're practicing that way, and you're allowing that to happen. Then you need a change.
Ron said, I agree. I mean, I do think, you know, I'm of the belief that Amy is going to fire someone. I've said that I believe it's going to be Rand. Okay. That's what I think is going to happen, and probably Chad Brinker. I do think she's going to make that change. Some people agree with me. Some people don't. So, but I do think, just looking at her track record, somebody's going to get blamed for this season, and there will be a change. But let's say there's not. Let's say that, you know, Chad Brinker's back, Rand Carthon's back, Brian Callahan's back. I think the coaching staff's going to look different because you've gone through the first year. It's kind of like, it's a perfect analogy. It's kind of like an election, right? You run for a big office, and especially like the president, you know, you get into your first term. What generally happens in the first term? You put your buddies in, people that helped you out. You kind of made some promises, so they might get a cabinet job or, you know, some job like that. It's kind of like that in the NFL with being a head coach. He brought people he knew of, like, okay, here you go. I'm going to give you a job.
Oh, yeah.
Well, now he goes through it and he realizes, okay, they're my friends, but maybe they're not very good. And so then you have to have that tough discussion and make those changes.
Every coaching staff, I think that first staff is that same way.
Right. And so I think that's what's probably going to end up happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But now, look, you got the win. Move on. You play the Chargers on Sunday. This has never been an easy trip for this franchise ever. So go out and you do the one game at a time. If Levis is good to go, put Levis in there. Let him roll with him.
Ron on our text line says, so how many years do you think it will take this organization to get on the right track? Is it possible to do it in a year?
No.
I mean, they've been kind of trying for a while.
I mean, we've talked about this. The biggest turnaround that we saw that Titans fans know well was the 98 to 99 Rams. 98.
Yeah.
The 98 St. Louis Rams were terrible. I think they were 3-13. They were awful. And there was no expectation to change it going into 99. And then Trent Green gets his knee blown out in the game. They put in a Serena Ball quarterback who had a hell of an arm. by the name of Kurt Warner, and then they're like, all right, we got nothing to lose. Just throw the ball down the field. And that's exactly what Kurt Warner started doing, and they turned it around. Now, there are examples like the Texans from 22 to 23. Yeah, but a true championship team, am I missing one? That's the one that comes to mind is the Rams, 98 to 99, that finished it off by winning a Super Bowl. Colts did it, yeah. 98 to 99.
I mean, the Titans had a pretty big – I know they were 8-8, but, I mean, nobody expected them to go 13-3 and go to the Super Bowl that year. So, but, I mean, yeah, the Rams are the big – that for sure.
Yeah, so it can happen, but very rarely does it happen. More like what happened with the Texans last year where
– it's usually a slow build. You look at the Lions. I mean, look at what the Lions have done, you know, over the course of the last 3 years, that you finally got the right combination of head coach, coordinator, quarterback, and defense.
Did you see the locker room celebration after the game for the Lions?
No.
I mean, the thing is, like, well, the Lions haven't played outdoors all year.
Yeah.
And it's awful in Green Bay, and it's raining, and it's cold, and they won. That team, I'm not sure I've ever seen a football team chase where every player loves that head coach.
Oh, yeah.
They love him.
And that's what works.
Like, they'll is fight he
the,
for him?
He is not the best head coach. I think we know that.
No.
Like, he's made some boneheaded decisions. But if your team loves you and wants to run through a wall for you, then you're doing your job.
That's right. That's right. You know, he took over in 15 when he came here for the Dolphins beat.
He did, yeah.
The Titans
had the long hair.
He did. And he's like, good Lord, this dude's massive and he's mean. And I'm not sure what happened in Miami there, but he is where he needs to be. And they love him and they rally for him and they play for him. Once you get to that level, which is hard to do, you got something special. They've got something special.
They do very, very much. Coming up next, we'll talk to former Titans punter Brett Kern. He will join us on the other side.
I feel like I'm on a first date with you. We're yawning.
Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.